Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. Where else can you listen to Big Brother House Guests, Survivor Castaways, and the Amazing Racer Racers? That's right, here at the Rad Reality Show. So first-time listeners, you need to tune in every Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday.
I got a feeling that tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good, good night. I'll be there.
Let's kick it off with our theme song for usually Thursday night, especially during Survivor's time of the year. And you know what it is. Welcome to the show, everyone. Tonight we're going to be talking about Survivor. If you guys have a question on Survivor, you guys can call in 347-237-5506. Let's have a great show, guys.
Happy Thursday out there, everyone. I want to say thank y'all for being here with us tonight for our Survivor Philippines Roundtable Show. Today is 10-11-12. And my name is Cherry Garcia. I'll be your co-host tonight. I also want to introduce and thank our clipmaster, Mr. Paul from Minnesota, for being here with us, as he always is, for every show we do. Thank you, Paul. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. You know what? I remember waking up this morning, I had my TV on, and I was asleep, and I woke up just momentarily and heard today is 10, 11, 12, and I go, oh, I got to remember that. I'm doing good. No, that's crazy. I know that's not that big a deal, but yes, thank you, Cherry. It's good to be here for another Survivor. Shoo.
Shoo. And,
yes, really big shoo. Welcome all the guests and chatters.
Our host will be joining us in a little while, I hope. We've got the people filling in. I know that tonight the debate is on, so some people may be watching the debate and won't be joining us, but we hope that most of you will filter in soon. I know this is a very big political year, so I can't fault anyone for putting the debate first and not joining us. You know, it is the election is very important, and I can't blame anyone for making our national election more important than us. But, you know, we like to see our fans and our guests filter into the chat room and join us. So it's always nice to see our regulars and some new people, too. But this debate is big, so if we don't see everyone, we will understand.
Yeah, that's why I'm glad I've got DVR. I did start watching it. I had paused my DVR, so I got maybe 15 minutes behind. It's very riveting. Once you start watching, it was like, oh, damn, the show's coming up? Oh, man.
I was busy trying to write notes for the show that I didn't even get to see any of this debate. I watched all of the first presidential debate. But this one I really didn't get to see any of, so I'm not I didn't even get started in it, so
yeah,
I didn't have to tear myself away.
I've always found Joe Biden entertaining, unpredictable, and it's just you never know. And he certainly has shown some of that for what I saw tonight, but I will watch the rest of it after the show is over.
Well, I am hitting record so that I can at least see some of it and see what he's up to and what he's saying.
Hey, before we forget, if any of you weren't around for Tuesday's Jody's Box of Reality, she had a surprise guest that I was listening in the chat room, and the surprise guest, I wish it could have been announced ahead of time, but was so much fun. For those that didn't join us live, tell them what they missed, Jerry.
We had Will Heiser on the show, and I tell you what, this guy literally, in my opinion, needs to be part of the Saturday Night Live crew. He is that talented. He needs to go straight to the top.
All right.
Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. He needs to go straight to the top. This guy has
think of
talent.
Anybody. Yeah, I totally agree. His talent is just amazing. But
Paul, have you gone to his website and watched his videos?
Yes. But tell me this. In your recollection, have we ever had as talented, there may have been, but, you know, in the kind of talent that he has, have we ever had as talented of a house guest ever?
I really don't.
I mean, I like a lot of them. A lot of them are, you know, have their special qualities, but just pure entertainment and talent, you know.
Rennie has a lot of talent.
Oh,
Rennie
yes.
is really
there you
funny.
Go.
But
that's a good one to bring up. That's a very good one to bring up. There's some comparison there. And what did we say when we watched Rennie? She needs her own show. She needs her own show. She needs her own show.
Right. But aside from that, I mean, I just think he is. I just want producers to come and scoop him up. And every time I think about him coming on the show, I'm like, we've got to get him back before somebody comes and scoops him up and he's no longer even thinking about doing little shows like
ours. Little guys.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I think, because I know that this guy is going to go straight to the top and he's not going to be looking back.
I hope so.
I just know it in my heart. That guy is going places. He is just going to go there. He's masterful. He has so much talent flowing out of him. It's unbelievable. And it was such a joy to talk to him the other day and listen to him do his impersonations. And
yes, but let me bring a highlight that he absolutely loved, and I can tell it was a genuine comment. When Kansas came on, and she started in an English accent impersonating what's her first name? Osborne.
Sharon Osborne.
Sharon. I couldn't think of her first name. She started impersonating. She went into this long chat impersonating Sharon Osborne, and she was so good at it that Jody even had to say, wait a minute, I have to clear something up, when Kansas came back in a regular voice. Was that somebody else that was on first? I mean, and Will just loved it. It was amazing, don't you think? Thanks,
yeah.
Will, Sharon.
Yes. And he says, I'm going to have to stop doing her now because you did it better than me.
Yes.
But, yeah, he loved it. He loves somebody to, you know, bounce off of him and, you know, give him a run for his money. But he's just absolutely the most and fun. I'm hoping that he's going to be at Toys for Tots. If they can get him up to Toys for Tots,
yeah.
OMG. That will be the highlight of that event up there, if they can get him up to that event.
I'm hoping
that can happen.
Yeah, I do too. That would be awesome for those that go up there. But the other guest, the night before, on Manic Monday, Michelle comes back after 2 weeks, and boy, did
Russell
she deliver.
Can.
Although some people were a little upset with a lot of the profanity coming out of his mouth, but it was a really fun show with the one, the only, Russell Hantz.
Russell Hantz. I mean, I'm absolutely Team Hantz. I have met all of them at different times. I've met Russell a number of times. I've met all of them, I think. Well, Brandon, I've only met once, I think. Sean, I've only met once out in Kentucky. Willie, I've met once or twice. But I've met all of them and been able to talk to each of them, you know, both on the phone. Willie, I've talked to on the phone a lot.
Yeah.
Willie and I have talked on the phone for hours.
Was it to find out that we were only a couple days away from spoiling the big news that Brandon shared with us when he came on?
Oh, I know. Russell had just found out the day before that Willie was expecting his third child. And when we brought it up, Russell was like, "And I just found out yesterday." I had been announcing it on each one of our shows the entire week because I thought it was so special that, you know, the Thursday that Brandon was on and did our Survivor show, he announced it on our show. And I thought that was so cool. And I sort of laughingly said, "You heard it here first." Well,
yeah.
Little did I know that you really did hear it here first. And Mary and David are very, very close with Brandon. They talk on the phone quite a bit. And Mary and David didn't even know. So they heard it here on the show first. But I had no idea that Russell hadn't heard it at all. And this almost a full week had gone by. And here we're talking to Russell, his family member. And I'd announced it on a number of shows already, and we're on Manic Monday, and we bring it up, and Russell's like, "Yeah, and I just learned about it yesterday."
Yeah.
I thought, oh my gosh.
Oh, my goodness. You even brought it up. What would have happened if you hadn't heard, and we actually asked you about it, and you go, "What?" But, I went back and listen to I don't know if you did or not, but this is kind of self-promoting, but I was just going to listen to see how the intro sounded for Manic Monday, because I did a little special clip that night, and so, but I started listening, and then Michelle came. That first 20 minutes was really a really good show. It entertained me, and I was, you know, I was listen to it live, but it was a great, she really, I miss Michelle when she's not here.
I do too. I think we all do. I mean, the fans do as much as you and I do. It's just something that, you know, she's just such a huge integral part of our show, and everyone loves Michelle, and
I was so glad that she was able, you know, to capsulize at least, or, you know, it had been a couple weeks since she'd been to Vegas, and another week since she had been down to Phoenix. And speaking of being surprised about a new baby coming for Brandon. It was also a surprise that April, BB10's April, and I always want to use her maiden name, but BB10's April had given birth to a second child as well, and she didn't, Michelle Fonda. It was just a really fun, informative and entertaining first 20 minutes, even before Russell came on. I mean, I'm not downplaying Russell's time because he spent a lot of time with us, and I even mentioned that to him. A lot of times some of these people come on, they don't have the time to spend so long. He stayed on a long time.
Right, he did. He really did. And I can announce who's going to be on this coming Tuesday also. We're going to have the infamous Missy from Superpass joining us on Tuesday. And, yes, Phil, that is a big topic of discussion right now.
Right.
Chatty Natty is 5 months pregnant with a baby boy. She just put it out last night. It's on my Facebook. She's got a little picture of her little baby pooch belly. And so she put that out last night. And I just got a text from our host. And apparently, I think he is going to be calling in, but he says he won't be able to talk long. His dad is in the ER, so boy, I don't want to keep him too long.
No.
His dad's in the ER. That's really scary. I don't know what's going on, but I sure hope his dad's okay.
Well, let's...
I have great notes for tonight, so
yeah,
we can go ahead and...
We can launch really quickly instead of just kind of general chit-chat as we often do before getting into the show. Perhaps with a limited amount of time, you can launch into that stuff. What do you think?
Yeah, I can go ahead and start talking about Survivor, and when he joins us, he can join in for just a short time, and we can... say hi and, you know, get his opinion real quick if he wants to go. I don't want to keep anyone away from their loved one and, you know, when they're in the ER. That's really scary. So just to start off, they started the show with Matt Singh showing that they were on their way to extinction. Russell has the clue, but Malcolm and Denise have the alliance going on. Pete at Tandang has started to stir things up by starting
I'm
majority alliance.
Jerry, but as you bring things up, they trigger, you know, memories for me. The one unusual thing I remember last week where they showed up for the immunity challenge and we didn't get to hear, this is your first look at the new Matt Singh tribe, you know, Ashley, you know, whatever. Voted out last time. This time we got them we didn't get them returning the nighttime return. It showed basically the next day, and here was the rain. And what I wrote down was that the background music was depressing music.
I know.
And Russell was gathering firewood, and everybody was just, there was no talk. They were all just really, really down and depressed, and it was kind of an interesting little opener. But yeah, going on to the Pete thing. In fact, Jerry, I looked at the description. You know how they title episodes, and on my DVR or my TV guide, it says something like "Create a Little Chaos." And I'm wondering, well, if CBS named that episode, I'm wondering if Pete is going to continue to be a prominent figure and be around a long time, because they actually named the show after what he was doing. And I think that was a really important time. So go ahead there, Pete creating chaos, yes.
Okay, I don't know. Let me see, where did you interrupt at? Peter Tandang has really started to stir things up by starting a new majority alliance. Phil, Artis, Lisa, and Abby has turned on the old alliance, which included Scoopin and RC, and has now brought in Lisa and Artis to work. Phil has brought in Artis, Lisa, and Abby. He's now brought in Lisa and Artis to work with him and Abby.
Artis.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which helps Lisa a lot, since she was close to being a shoe-in for the first to go out of this tribe. This four-strong alliance also is backed by Abby finding the hidden immunity idol on last week's episode.
And it was Pete that planted that clue to be found. I mean, he's really stirring. He's really trying to create chaos like some past Survivor contestants have done, you know. And I know Russell even talked about that when he was on Manic Monday, how he did a lot of stuff to really cause trouble. And I immediately thought about that conversation we had with him on Manic Monday. And here Pete was doing something similar. Did that come to your mind as well?
It did, but we're not there yet. We're still at what's leading up to this week's episode. At Calabao, Penner had been the target from day one. But last week, he revealed his hidden immunity idol to Jeff Kent, who only gave him a four-finger handshake, not a manly handshake, until he figures out what will be best for him to move forward in the game. Last week at the challenge, Angie and Russell both struggled, and Matt Singh lost again. At Tribal, both Russell and Angie took turns throwing each other under the bus, and in the end, despite Malcolm's closeness with Angie, he voted to keep Russell in as an effort to keep Matt Singh strong. 15 are left. Who will be voted out tonight?
Raining. You were just, I'm sorry, I misunderstood. I thought you were just giving the, this is what happened last week. I'm sorry. Do you know the area code we're looking for?
I believe that may be him.
I just, because what he said as far as not being able to stay long,
let me go ahead and get him.
Okay.
Welcome, Bubba. Thank you for calling in tonight.
Hey, how are you?
I'm great. How are things going with you, and how's your dad?
Today he's just hit the floor. He's weak. He's hit the floor three times, and he's lightheaded, and his temperatures went real high and stuff, so they got him in the emergency room right now, and they're trying to figure out what all's wrong, so I'm just kind of waiting on pins and needles. So if I seem a little scatterbrained, I apologize, but I definitely want to call in because I gave you my word, and I want to be here, and I can't talk as long, but...
I've got complete and total notes on tonight's show, so if you want to be with your father, you can sort of just give us your quick opinion and go be with your dad. I love you to death for calling in.
You're as nice as the day is long, honey, and I tell you, I had to call in because I told you I would or whatnot. My thoughts about the show, let's just go ahead and have a conversation. I just don't want to just blunt my opinion and then go with it. Let's have somewhat of a conversation going here, and if, you know, I can step away here in a bit. But my take on the show that I've got so far and what I've gathered from this past Wednesday or whatnot is I'm leaning, as far as strategic-wise, I think Mike Scoopin is probably the best prepared just by his gameplay. He's got a working relationship with everybody, you know, and it's not like pulling eight people off and showing him an immunity idol and trying to pull him in like Pinter has done and stuff like that. But he's got a working relationship with everybody. And some people might have the radar up or whatnot, but I just really think that he's got a control on the game because with a working relationship, there's not a lot of expectations, but you got that friend thing there if you need it. You know, if you try to hurry up and make the alliance, there's expectations there, and there's, you know, if anybody sees, I mean, in the game, so much as you just talking to somebody that can mean nothing, you got some people that's so paranoid, they're going to think something's up. So, I don't know.
Do you
it
not
just kind of goes
worry?
In line with what I'm thinking, so.
All right, reference Scoopin, do you not worry that Pete got a lot of airtime and seems to be gunning for him?
You know, it would be hard for me to believe. I don't want to tell you things that it's good. And I'm trying to.
All right.
Okay, because I've got mixed up because I know some of the stuff and I know what I see.
Yeah.
It's, but.
You don't have
let's
to answer.
This, okay, well, let's just put this. I'll put this with that gimmick, Cal. Michael knows what's going on. So there's nothing but going on behind his back right now. So
okay.
I think he's well aware, and he can pull whatever string he needs to right now. So I think.
Hey, I want to kind of jump gears or whatever. You don't know this about me, but I often have looked for. Songs, for a while I was doing it for some of our regulars in the chat room and finding, you know, their names in a song. And because you kind of become a regular here, I thought, I wonder if there's a song out there that has Bubba in it. And I did some searching. There wasn't a great bunch of songs to choose from, but I found one that had a great little upbeat tune to it. And,
We found a theme song for you, Bubba.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And it's if you want to, you can approve it or not. That's what I'm getting at.
Yeah,
and anyway.
You can tell us if you like it or not.
Okay, I'm going to click the play now.
Okay.
All right.
Bubba shot the jukebox last night. Said it played a sad song, it made him cry. Went to his truck and got a 45. Bubba shot the jukebox last night. Bubba shot the jukebox last night. Said it played a sad song, it made him cry. Went to his truck and got a 45.
You know, when I first got off the show, you wouldn't believe when I'd go in like a club or something like that, how many people would start singing that song. They would sing that one, or they would sing the song "If Bubba Can Dance, So Can I." So, but yeah, I love that song. Yes, 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 yes. Love that song. Thank you very much.
That will be your intro song from now on.
Hey, that's it. I love it.
All right.
That's great. Oh, man.
All right. So you've got an intro song from now on. We love that.
That sounds great. I agree with it 100%. I love it.
All right.
So, Sherry, what was your take on this past week?
What was your take on it?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you, Bubba.
Oh, I'm sorry. I said, Terry, what was your take on this past week? How do you feel about it? I mean,
well,
your thoughts and things that stood out.
I was trying to catch some tips on who might be in that secret alliance that you talk about. I'm still trying to figure that out.
Right.
You've really got me intrigued on that one.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so hard to watch Matt Singh just go down and down and down. I so love the final two people that are still there. I love Malcolm and I love Denise.
Right.
And I hate to see those two just struggling as the last two Matt Singh people. Now, this is jumping way, you know, all the way to next week's show, but it shows that I had thought originally that they would take, since there's only two left, they would take them and just put them one each in Tandang and one with Calabao and just make two tribes. But it looks like they're leaving them as three tribes. And it shows that Matt Singh, you know, looking for their hidden immunity idol. And then it shows that medical is brought in for someone. And you hear Jeff saying at the very end that medical is only brought in and will only take someone out of the game if their life is in danger. And we see Jeff sitting there with his pant leg rolled up and his knee exposed, showing the knee brace on his knee. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that it's Jeff, and they may be just showing us that, making us think that it's Jeff, and it could be somebody else totally. But I was thinking that since Matt Singh got down to two, weren't you thinking that they would probably be thrown into the other two tribes and it would go down to two tribes after this?
Well, I kind of thought that that would seem reasonable, but then again, you know, the two you have left are very athletic. If they're making other people set out, they may have more of a chance staying the two together because they're so strong in challenges. If you split them up and you put them in these other tribes, they may just say, hey, you know what, if we go to tribal council, that's the first person we're voting out.
Yep.
You know? So
I would hate to see
it
that
might be
happen
better
too,
because they are so strong in challenges. If they stick together and the other tribes has to set people out, you know, they may have a
they'll
chance.
They'll be having to set four people out of each tribe and only let two people play.
And
right,
consider
and also,
this, Cherry and Bubba, consider this. They, both of the other, you know, six strong, you know, tribe members, they sat all three women out. So they can't sit the same out consecutive, if I recall.
Yes, Paul.
So, yep.
Perfect. That's
yep,
exactly right.
There's only two from each of the other full tribes that can compete. It's going to be, you know, two women from each of those tribes that will be competing against, I would say, Denise, the probably from what I've seen, the strongest, most athletic woman there, and Malcolm.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really going to be interesting to see how that's going to play out.
I loved also the immunity challenge. That was one of the, you know, most nail-biting ones that I've seen. And I loved when I saw that ball come through and crack one on the way out and crack another on the way back. And
oh, it was
oh,
heartbreaking for me.
It was heartbreaking, but it was also, you know, so close and nail-biting. So, I mean, that aspect of it I really enjoyed last night.
You know, and one thing is, it's like with this last week's show, it seems like it's, you know, it started lining up when you saw who the three people returned and how it's playing out, and it's only gaining momentum. And as this season goes on, it's only going to get better and better. This is definitely, I think, one of the best seasons they've had in a long time. And, you know, if people haven't got in, they don't try to catch up and get into this one, because I'm telling you, this season is going to be phenomenal. It's going to be great.
And I'm seeing a lot more rain coming. It seems it's been really affecting them. And I just must be that time of the year, a rainy season or something, because, boy, when that rain comes, it really adds so much more to the dynamic, you know, their mood, their emotions, and everything like that. And
and
what did you think about Russell's
exactly
breakdown?
Right.
end of the challenge. And then, you know, him talking to Jeff at the end of the challenge.
Yeah, I mean, they even, the music that's normally always playing in the background after the immunity challenge, the music stops. Jeff starts going into almost his tribal mode as far as questioning people, and the music stops, and he talks to Russell, asking him what's going on. And,
well,
yeah,
it's a challenge. You know, Russell threw the thing down. He throws that
pot of rice.
Pot of rice, right. And he starts going off and he says, "Lord, I don't know what happened. You give me another opportunity. I don't get what's happening, Father. You got to help me understand this. I just can't take this." And Jeff Probst goes, "Russell, you've been going on, breaking pots, talking to who? I don't know who. Are you talking to God?" And Russell answers, "I'm talking to God, Lord. I mean, Jeff." And everyone kind of starts laughing. You can see in the background because he basically called Jeff Lord. And then he says, "I mean, Jeff." And then Russell says, "You know, for me, this isn't supposed to happen." And Jeff says, "Russell, with all due respect, you sometimes talk like you're a superhero. Like Superman is never supposed to fail. You're just a guy." And Russell says, "I'm a guy who was formed by God's hands. I'm a perfect creature. And as far as I'm concerned, that's the way I'm supposed to live my life."
Well, and you know, now if you're going, if he's going to go down that route, you know, and since it's brought up, you have to look at it this way. The way he's presenting it, you know, you have to be in God's perfect will. Maybe it's God's perfect will for him not to win.
Right.
With this coming up, okay, and I don't know how you believe, but y'all believe, but this is coming from me, and this is my experience. And I'll go through this real quick. When I first got sent to L.A., 2 weeks. Didn't really know if I was supposed to be on the show. I was questioned, am I supposed to be here? So I prayed and fast so I could become closer to God and then seek what he'd want me to do. My wife had been reading this book, Purpose Driven Life. I hadn't even cracked open the cover. She was reading it. And while I was in L.A. going through these interviews and stuff like that, I told her, I said, I was just praying. I said, and, you know, it just overwhelmed me. I got emotional, everything. I said, you know, the Lord just laid it on my heart. You know, Travis, this is what you're supposed to do. It's not about you. So when I called my wife and I told her, I said, you know, the Lord spoke to me. He said, it's not about you. You just need to go through this. So when I told her that, you know, she was just dead silent. Because the first line, you know, first part of the book right there, it says, it's not about you. Well, she knows I never looked at that book. So she knew that was a sign. Long story short, we go to Vanuatu and everything. There was this lady that couldn't speak any English, you know, just that island tribal stuff they spoke. There they believed women were beneath pigs because you could actually sacrifice a pig to their volcanic god, but you could no longer sacrifice a woman. So women were beneath pigs. You would walk on a path. A woman would have to step on the path and look down. She could not look upon a man because she might be lusting. So when we come on the island, we got our nice clothes. They've just got grass skirts, no shoes, and nothing, you know. So they see us as royalty. So even the men, when we came by, would step off to let us pass. They offered us everything they had was their best. They would give to us until we started the game, and then they were supposed to stay away. I got voted out of the game. This lady was doing our laundry, and she was walking down the path. She didn't see me. I step off and I bow my head, not to look upon her. She stops and almost drops the clothes, and these men behind me, speaking their language, just, it's obvious that they're just, what's the deal, what's the deal, what's the deal, you know. Just, anyway, I stood there and I was not going to move until she walked past. Well, she finally walked past. Well, the translator comes and gets me because I was at the Ponderosa and said, dude, you're causing a lot of chaos here. And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, they don't understand you. They don't understand why you do the things you do. They see you as royalty, and you're doing things that they just don't understand. And what it was, I was showing ladies respect. And I ended up giving her some shoes and some clothes and things like that to take to her family. So we got kind of close. Well, I'm cutting a lot out of this story, but I was on the way. I was getting ready to leave the island and stuff like that. And she came out and she was bawling. She was crying. And she, you know, was standing, you know, back off the beach. And I stopped and I turned around and I was smiling. She came out on the beach and these men were angered because the beach was considered holy ground. You know, they're not supposed to be there. But since I acknowledged her, he said it would be okay. And we got on the boat and everything, and he again said how much chaos had happened. And I said, how? I said, I couldn't even speak her language. And he said, well, it had to do something they knew with that necklace you had on. Before I left, my son Trevor had made me a necklace, and it was just a plain string and just a wooden cross, and that was it. He said they knew it had something to do with that necklace because every night she saw you reading out of a book that had that exact same symbol on it. And that explains when she'd come in to my room to straighten up the hut, she always had my Bible upside down because that was the side. My boys, when they made the cover for my Bible, they put the cross on the back and they put praying hands on the front. And she knew I wore a necklace with that symbol. And she had always turned that Bible over to that symbol. So then I realized, after all that happened, it wasn't about winning the $1 million. I went halfway the world to plant a seed. And I felt so privileged that I was chosen to plant that seed halfway across the world. I met a guy named Peter, who is a minister on the internet. I met him in an online survival game. And then he got in to missionary work, and some of his friends were going to Vanuatu. Now, this is all this small world stuff if you don't believe there's a God, you know. But then they get in contact with me, and I spread with them, you know, people that I talk to and stuff, and then they go over there and water. I mean, it's just, I didn't mean to ramble on. But
no, that's fine. I love these kind of stories.
Yeah, sometimes it's not about winning the game. Russell says, I don't understand. Maybe, you know, it's God's will for him not to win, but it's to plant a seed while he's on television. So that's the way I see that, you know. I mean, I got a bunch of stories I could tell you that's happened off camera. One story happened to us I can't believe didn't make Fox, CNN news all over that happened. I mean, it's a story that, you know, and then I'll tell you, and I promise this is super quick. We was trading with the Islanders T-shirts for knives and stuff like that because they made these things. And this one Islander wanted to trade us some dog tags for some T-shirts. And Brooke was saying, no, man, I can get 1,000 of those things back home. He said, I don't want no dog tags. He said, I want that, you know, that knife you've made. And I started looking, and I said, Brooke, I said, trading for those dog tags. He said, why? I said, because we're in Vanuatu. We're halfway across the world. This was a hotbed during World War II.
Yep.
Where did he get American dog tags? And Brooke said, my God, Bubba. So he traded those things and got those dog tags. We ran to Brady because he was an FBI agent on our season. We said, Brady, you are never going to freaking guess what we got. He said, what? He held up some dog tags. And he stopped eating and he looked. He said, did you bring those with you? Brooke said, no, man, I got it off one of the Islanders out here. He said he traded them. And Brady says, get the translator. We've got to find that guy before he gets off the island because they had boats go for a while. Got the translator, went down, ran down, found him, told him the situation. Long story short, the guy had found a plane that had went down, and he got those dog tags off the gentleman that was in the plane. Now, he couldn't have been no more than just bone or uniform white. I mean, I don't know the way the gentleman looked when he got there, but I mean, evidently that long, he was real well, you know, gone. But he got him from the plane.
Oh, my gosh.
And we come back to the United States. Brady finds the family. Man, it's getting on my chest right here. I hope I don't get emotional on this because it really finds the family, went there in suit and tie and presented those dog tags to that man's family. That's what I couldn't believe didn't get on television. That right there, man, and if you're any type of patriot whatsoever and love this country, that's the kind of story that just, you know, but he got those dog tags back to that family. And, I mean, that's just a story I couldn't believe wasn't told, you know.
I can't believe that they, like you said, that didn't make not only on Survivor, but didn't make headline news.
News, I know. I know. I could not believe that. Because
I'm almost ashamed of CBS for not.
Everybody at CBS knew that we found those dog tags. And, you know, Brady came back to the United States, and we kept in touch, you know. So, hey, dog tags, what do you know? You know, just want to know, you know. But I could not believe that, you know.
Bless your hearts for doing what you did. I commend you both for doing that. And, you know, God bless you for doing what you did. And I'm sure that family will forever keep you in their hearts. And that was an amazing story. I never expected a story like that. But,
yeah, I mean
this is the kind
of
stories that we long for, you know, that we don't get to hear unless we talk to survivors who have been out there and been on those islands and been with the locals and have had the opportunities to do these kind of things. But that's one of the most amazing stories that I personally have ever heard.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, I don't know. It's 8 years later, I'm still blown away that it never, you know, got major publicity or something, but oh well. But
that's amazing. Well, you know, Russell, I don't know, you know, he seems to think that, you know, he should do things in excellence at all times, and you know, Jeff told him, you know, that not everyone can succeed at everything. In the competition, by design, someone will fail. Someone will lose. And Russell said, it pisses me off. But at the same time, logically, I understand it. So, you know, they went on about their business. Tandang won the stakes and the reward. Calabau won the lesser of the two, which was some vegetables and a pan to cook them in, but they decided to trade their goods for a tarp.
Good trade.
And yeah. When it's raining like that, I think the tarp was a good trade.
Absolutely.
Yeah, when it's raining like that, and you know it's going to keep raining like that, that tarp is just immeasurable. And so, you know, during the walk back, the three Mat Singh tribe members, you know, it was just so depressing to watch them walk back. And they all decided to tell each other that they were taking each other. We knew that Denise and Malcolm were in a very strong alliance, but they decided that they wanted to keep Russell feeling comfortable because they weren't sure. They thought maybe he had an immunity idol. And she had earlier in the show caught him looking under their shelter and told Malcolm about it. So they were not sure that, you know, whether he might have the idol. And so they wanted to keep him feeling comfortable and feeling like he could possibly have the swing vote, thinking that if she was going to vote out Malcolm and Malcolm was going to vote out Denise, that Russell would have the swing vote in deciding who was going to go home. So
yeah.
Malcolm told Russell that he was going to vote Denise out. Denise told Russell that she was going to vote Malcolm out. And Russell was thinking that he was going to have to make the decision on which of those two would actually go home. And he was feeling fairly secure. Once they got to tribal, Jeff had already, you know, sort of figured out and knew that they were telling each other basically what they wanted to hear. And Jeff questioned them about their reactions and so forth. Jeff questioned Russell about his reaction about losing it earlier in the day after the challenge. And he said that he had talked to Denise because she was a therapist to take the temperature of his perspective on his attitude of excellence. And he said, you know where I came up? He said, there is nothing wrong with my expecting excellence from myself every time, no matter what it is that I am doing. And so I'm comfortable with that. If it is a fatal flaw, then I'll just have to accept it. And Jeff asked Malcolm who it was that put him in, or no, wait, Jeff asked who put Malcolm in the spot at the end of the challenge as the go-to guy. And Malcolm admitted that it was him that took it upon himself, and he didn't get the job done. And he talked about how bad it felt. Jeff then asked everyone why they should be the one to stay. Denise said that she was strong and physical, and she had a great social game. Malcolm said he's got 20 years on Russell and more pep in his step, and he had at least a foot on Denise vertically, and he thinks he would be the best physical asset to the Mat Singh tribe. Russell said experientially, which I thought was a funny word, he can get the job done. Then it was basically, and then both of the guys agreed that if it was the end of the game, Denise would win the money. And I thought that was kind of interesting. They both talked about how Denise would get the jury votes if they were at the end of the game right then. Then they voted, and Russell was voted out. And he never said goodbye to anyone. He never looked back. And most importantly, he certainly didn't share the fact that he had the clue to where the hidden immunity idol was. Yeah. So they are left looking for the hidden immunity idol with no clue.
Although, I did notice when they were showing, although we didn't see the faces of the people, but when they were showing on next week's episode, just before they showed that they were, again, looking for the immunity idol, they did have a camera shot of the clue, which I wonder whether Russell may have left that behind for them to find. And if he did, then, you know, good for him, you know, to try to help them out, don't you think?
I didn't see the clue. Did you see the clue, Bubba?
Oh, so I'm a liar?
No, I just said I didn't see it.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, honestly, if there's
Jerry,
two left, how would you use the immunity idol?
You would keep it till the merge, I guess. That's a good point,
yeah.
Though. You,
yeah,
yeah,
I mean, so, because if you had the immunity idol and the two went, I mean, you can't vote for each other.
Well,
so it kind of makes you wonder, are they going to split them up and put them on another tribe? Just wait the next week to do it, or wait till they go to the next challenge and say, hey, you got new tribe members. How's it going to work at the tribal council? You can't vote for yourself. Vote for the other person. It's a tie. What are they going to do, pick a colored stone? Maybe they do that. So.
Yeah. No, I think, and Chair, you know I was kidding. I hope you know that. Anyway.
Ben said he didn't see it either, so I'm not the only one.
I know. If it's still on
I'm exercising my Fifth Amendment. I'm not saying whether I saw it or not.
Go back if you still have it. You can go back and see it. I promise you. I rewound it and paused it to actually read the clues. So it is there. At any rate, I thought you rarely get a tribal, you know, a final three in a tribal situation where, you know, one is being voted out as opposed to, you know, the very final three at the end of the game. And that was it was quite interesting, you know, because really it could have gone any way.
Yep.
So,
hey, listen, I hate to step away, but I'm going to have to go back in here and check on my dad.
Oh, Bubba, thank you so very much for coming on at this time. I wouldn't have blamed you if you would have just said that you couldn't make it, but I appreciate so much that you called in at all. Our prayers and our thoughts are with you and your family and your dad. Please let me know, if you can, at some point how he's doing, okay?
Absolutely. And I want to thank you so much for letting me be a part of this show. Thank you very much.
You are welcome. We enjoy having you with us every week, and I can't wait till next week. But please let me know how your dad's doing, and we will keep him in our thoughts and prayers, and the whole Rad Reality family will keep him in our prayers.
All right. Thank you very much. Y'all take
thank
care,
you,
okay?
Honey. You take care, babe. All right. Bye-bye.
All right.
Oh, I feel so bad for him that his dad is in the hospital.
Yeah. Well, hopefully they discover and find out what it is, and something they can, you know, treat and deal with.
Right.
But, you know, he could have, I would have been more than satisfied or happy. Well, first of all, if he didn't show up, I'm with you. I totally understand. But he could have just popped in and told us about the dog tag story and left, and that would have been...
What a story that was.
Yeah. Well, my dad was in World War II in the Pacific Theater. So, I mean, to have that, for, you know, family members to have that closure, or, you know, the final closure, if you will, is so huge.
And just having that to hang on to, that memory, that something to pass down to, you know, the family is
right.
Just so meaningful. Ah, that was
so
just an incredible story. I would like to go ahead and use my notes that I worked so hard on.
Yes. And at some point, I'm sure you're going to bring up Abby again. I mean, oh, my goodness. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm going to, before I forget, I'm going to go ahead and add some more minutes to the show so we don't run out of time. And I'm going to try to quickly run through my notes so that we get this over with, and then we can just chat about the show. Anyway, they're all sitting in the shelter, staying out of the rain. Pete and Scoopin get the fire going again. As they return to the shelter, As they return to the shelter, RC moves a blanket, and Abby says, "What is that? What is that in that yellow bag?" And Pete says, "It's the clue to the hidden immunity idol." And as he turns around, you can see a little grin on his face. Now, in a cameo, Abby explains to the viewers that she was just staring down where they had been sleeping. And she sees this little piece of paper sticking out. And it's the clue that RC and her had been safely keeping and guarding. So now, as the camera returns to the shelter, you see RC reading the clue out loud to everyone. Abby says, "I think she went and got this clue from where we had it buried, put it in her bag, and it fell out. She has no idea that I found the hidden immunity idol, but I don't feel bad because me finding that clue proved to me that she wasn't 100% honest with me at all. Abby says to RC, I'm really surprised that I found this clue hanging out of your bag. And then RC in a cameo says, I have no idea what happened with the clue. I certainly didn't put it there. But because this popped out, I'm a little leery in my place right now in my tribe. Then we hear from Pete in a cameo. And this is where it really gets good. RC didn't do anything. I was the one who put it there. Abby showed me where the clue to the idol was, so I went and got it and put it in my pocket, and RC's bag spilled all over the bed. And then he made hand motions of him slipping the clue in her bag. And then he said, bam, clue planted. This couldn't have gone any better. This is amazing. All you have to do is create a little chaos because keeping people on their toes is a big part of my strategy. I don't want anybody to be able to play their game. I want them to play my game. Now, Paul, this is where you were talking about going back to Russell and the way he was playing the game and
Russell
what
Hance.
We were talking with him about yep. on Monday. If you yep. can keep people off of their game, keep them in chaos, then I think that's half of the game right there. They can't, you know, keep their strategy right. They can't keep, you know, their thoughts on track. They can't play their game because
right.
they're in total chaos. So Pete really has it going on more than people realize. He looks so innocent. He has that young look about him. He's not very vocal, and he's just not standing out very much right now. He's sort of flying under the radar. He's not real loud like Russell was. He's not trying to be a leader like Russell was, yet he's sort of very quietly doing the same thing that Russell was doing, you know, creating that chaos in his tribe. So over at Calabao, the rain is still, you know, coming down. The girls have made a tiny fire and are asking if that's enough and if that's all they have to do. Penner, Jeff, and Carter are going out
Who?
In the canoe to...
Who?
Penner, Jeff, and Carter.
Carter? I'm doing that on purpose. It was like, who is this guy? Never seen him in any of the episodes before.
I know. He's sort of getting his first first view in any of the episodes right now.
I actually had to pause and check it out because it's interesting for me in some ways to see what they list as a person's profession. And he's a track coach.
Yes. So they go out in a canoe. They're looking for clams and Jeff approaches approaches Penner and tells him that I think we can bring you value inside our tribe through me. I think you bring yourself, your veteran status, the immunity idol, and I think that's solid, and I think I've got pretty good relationship with our guys. Obviously, I can control some people. Penner says, awesome, I hear you. They both make their commitment to go forth together, and this time they give each other a real manly
five-finger
handshake. No four-finger handshake, a five-finger manly handshake. Penner also has a chat with Carter, and now Carter is also on board with a strong three-man alliance. The remainder of the team, Calabao, is back at...
Cut to the next scene.
Yeah. Right. They're back at the camp. This is the women, and they're all realizing that the guys are all out there. setting up an alliance, so they're making plans of their own. And they're talking about whether, you know, what they should do when the merge happens, and, you know, they should, you know, they're realizing that, that things are changing and they're no longer involved in the original alliance that they had made.
Yeah, and I think the other part of that, Sherry, is both these full tribes, they've had a full 9 days of no tribal council, no having to figure out who goes and everything like that. So I think, you know, it causes a different dynamic in situations like that, in my opinion.
Right. So Malcolm is talking about
Russell's
self-alliance, or self-awareness. Russell talks about how the other two in his tribe haven't approached him with gameplay or alliance talk, so he's nervous and decides he better find the idol. But then he gets busted big time by Denise and gives just a crazy bullcrap lie, saying that he saw a banana leaf blow under the shelter and wanted to make sure it didn't come from their shelter.
And you know what I thought of, Jerry? I thought about, I wonder how many camera people were swarming around him when he was looking. And
I was thinking about that, too.
Yep. And it's like, yeah, right. If you were just looking for a stray palm leaf for whatever excuse, there wouldn't have been three camera people around you.
Yeah, you know that when she walked up there, she knew that there was something else going on.
Yeah.
So she tells Malcolm she caught him. Malcolm says the logical thing is if you busted him hiding it, he'd have stuck it in his pocket. So me and Denise went through all of his stuff in the shelter. I mean, I have no shame out here. If you have an idol, I want to know about it. I want as many variables in my control as possible. It wasn't in his clothes. It wasn't in his shoes. It wasn't in his bag. But there's no reason to take a risk. Might as well just blindside him and not leave any room for error. So that's their plan. Then back over to the other tribe, Scoopin is boiling rice. Abby is explaining to Scoopin that you keep boiling it until there's no water left. Abby steps up and says that she thinks it needs more salt. RC says it tastes just like a homemade meal and it needs more water and no more salt. And we see a cameo of Pete saying there was already a wedge between RC and Abby, but now it's concrete and it all comes from one piece of paper. I would love to send RC home right now. I don't trust RC as far as I could throw her. She's dangerous. But she has one big problem. I'm here.
and then Lisa.
Right. Then we see RC trying to talk to Abby. Abby won't have anything to do with RC. She tells her, you know what you did. You broke my trust. Move on. RC tries to talk to Pete, and he kind of blows her off, too. Meanwhile, Lisa is just staying on the sidelines, watching the show, keeping her cool, and she's sitting prettier than she's been since she got on the island. And I think she's the one that's really doing well out of all this chaos.
Yeah, I'm sorry when I interrupt like that. It's because I don't want to get too far from what you just said, but I could not help but listen to Abby saying to RC, you know what you did. And I couldn't help but remember Dan saying to Danielle, you know what you did at his funeral?
Yep.
At the Big Brother house.
And they're sitting there looking at them like, what? What did I do? Because neither one of them really did anything.
Exactly. Exactly. But Lisa, even she says she's just happy that she will happily fan the fire, so to speak, between Abby and RC. I'm so happy. I still haven't seen her wear that triathlete shirt, though, that she talked about on the talk. I don't know why I keep waiting to see that, but as long as I don't see it, I'm thinking, okay, she's still in the game. I just love, you know, she was such an underdog after watching the first couple of episodes. To see her come back, you know, to life, so to speak, I'm really happy.
I know. I really don't want her to go home early. I really want to see her go far in this game. So I'm happy as well. I really want her to stay around for a while. So we get to the challenge. They have to carry two pots of rice, one on each end of a bamboo pole, carried across your back through a series of obstacles. Place the pots. Once they get across the series of obstacles, they have to place the pots on their stands and then head back, and the next person goes.
And who was that? Was it Carter, the new person that we got to meet?
So much trouble the very first time out.
I mean, he didn't even get out of the starting blocks, and he cracked open.
I know. Gosh, that was hard to watch. Once you've collected all six pots, you will use a wrecking ball hung from a rope to smash the pots. First two tribes to smash all six pots win immunity. Losers go to tribal council, where someone will be voted out of the game. So, what are they playing for? Steak, veggies, spices, utensils. And the second place wins veggies, salt and pepper, a pot to cook it in. And if either tribe wants to trade for tarp, they can. Because Matt Singh is down to three tribe members, Calabao and Tandang, must sit out half of their tribe. Both of them choose to sit out their three females for this challenge. So Malcolm gets Matt Singh out to a good start. For the first time in any challenge, Matt Singh was in first place. Scoopin' made up some great time. Matt Singh was still ahead as Russell was coming back, but Denise was the only female, and the pots were very heavy. The teams, Tandang and Matt Singh, were both neck and neck, and Calabao was behind toward the end. But eventually Calabao caught up, and in the very end, Malcolm missed twice on his final pot, and Matt Singh loses for the fourth time to go to tribal council.
And the slow motion of it, who was it that beat them out? Which tribe beat Matt Singh out?
Calabao,
and I can't remember who was throwing it. Was it Artis that was doing the?
I'm not even sure who that was, but it went past it. And it caught it on its way back.
I know. That's what I was going to bring up. It on the way out, the ball just tips it over in the little holder. It just tips it over, and you think, okay, this is what I thought. Okay, almost hit it. Now Matt Singh is going to break the final one, and then the slow motion and the ball on its return flight hits that tipped over. Oh, wow. No, it was a good it was a good challenge. I don't know if they edited it to look like that or not, but I choose to believe they didn't and that it was that exciting.
And that's when Russell went off with his, can't take this, you know, Lord, I don't know what happened. You just gave me another opportunity. I don't get what's happening, Father. You got to help me understand this. I just can't take this. And it just cracked me up when he almost called Jeff Probst Lord.
Yeah.
But anyway, I think we've been through most of the rest of it.
Because you went through that when Bubba was on. And,
right, we finished up most of the rest of it.
And then we went through the tribal really well, too. You took great notes tonight. I must commend you on that. When you do take notes, they are complete. It was one thing that I noticed is and it would have been something maybe to ask Bubba, I don't know, but holy cow, did you see when they were arriving at Tribal how strong the wind was? Did you see those torches, the fire in the torches? I mean, I thought they were going to blow out. It was so windy.
Yeah, I just wonder, you know, what it's like sleeping in those shelters with next to nothing after everything is wet and you've got that kind of wind. And, I mean, it must be horrible there a lot of the time, you know, to not have blankets or, you know, anything to wrap up in. Just torturous there, don't you think?
Yeah, I absolutely. And the seasons that have had torrential, you know, rainfall always seem to be, you know, the worst.
I mean, even if it's not real cold, when, you know, once the sun goes down,
well,
and
when you're wet,
the wind is high, you know, that's just not fun.
I mean, I don't know for sure, but even when Malcolm and Denise were rummaging through Russell's bags looking to see if he had the idol, I thought it appeared that all of his bags and belongings were, like, soaking wet,
mm-hmm.
you know. You just, the sun doesn't come out long enough to dry anything.
Oh, that would be so horrible.
And yeah, it absolutely would.
We never heard Jeff say anything on this show about how his knee was actually feeling.
I did notice, I wish I could give credit to one of our chatters last time that said they noticed a brace. And I did notice that sticking out. It's not one of the, you know, it's kind of like an ace bandage type of knee brace. But I did notice it sticking out the bottom of his shorts. And he does seem to still do well enough in the challenges. He's not hiding his knee problem, obviously, which he, in the first episode, said he was going to try to do. When you put on a bandage like that around your knee, it's basically you're giving up that information to everybody. But
right.
It hasn't seemed to hinder him at all.
Yeah, I didn't hear him say, you know, anything good or bad about it. He didn't say, you know, it's feeling much better, or, you know, I'm still hurting, but I'm trying to get by on it. They didn't have him in a cameo or anything saying anything at all about it, so I'm really curious as to how that's going with him.
You know, there's also, at some point, I don't know if it will come into play, but you think it will when you see it mentioned in early episodes where, you know, Dawson had basically recognized who he was. You know, when will that...
I was just going to say that, because now they've seen the three guys out there, and
exactly.
And they pretty much know that they were out there sort of setting up a sub-alliance out there. So I'm wondering when she's going to break her little secret out of the bag and let everyone know that she knows who he is,
professional,
how much he's worth.
Yep.
And what kind of impact that's going to have on their tribe and the rest of the game.
The other little tidbit is, will Lisa at some point tell people who she is? Or will maybe Scoopin' use that information, you know, because it was kind of like he encouraged her that it might be a benefit, you know, for maybe some starstruck, you know,
right,
survivors to, you know, to see it. And because they brought that up, I wonder, you know, if it made the editing in those earlier shows, will at some point that come out of who she is? So we just have to wait and find out, I guess.
They certainly keep you on your toes.
Yeah, they do. Well, what is your thoughts on the little edit that we got for next week's show, do you think that nobody is leaving, or do you think, I mean, they left in the clip of we don't take anybody off unless their life is in danger. Do you think that they want us to think that somebody's hurt but they will stay, and then they surprise us in actually removing somebody? I don't know. I tend to think that it probably isn't Jeff Kent. I don't know why, but do you
I kind of think that too. I think they're showing us his knee to try to throw us off. I think that it's somebody else.
Yeah.
And if it is somebody else, then I think somebody could be removed from the game. They're, you know, they are bringing that boat out there. And if
and
they're bringing the boat out there, they don't bring that out there for no reason.
Right. I think it has something to do with the torrential rain. They kind of show a foot sticking out at the bottom of the underneath the blanket.
Mm-hmm.
It looked kind of waterlogged. And I'm wondering if it's a matter of all this rain and that type of thing. And Jeff kind of, I got the impression when they were lifting a blanket to show him, he kind of got squeamish. He goes like, ooh. So could there be some kind of an infection that somebody's gotten or something related, you know, to that? Who knows?
Well, I hope it isn't Scoopin'. We all know that Scoopin' has had so many cuts out there, and I'm sure they haven't had much of a chance to heal with all the rain and water. You know, everything, like you said, everything is waterlogged.
Right. Well, I'll just say this, and they certainly can fool us in the editing, but the tribe that they were showing prior to him, Jeff showing up, was all Calabar with Penner and Jeff Kent, and Scoopin's not on that tribe. So, you know,
right.
I don't know if they were.
I hope it isn't Penner too.
Yeah. Yeah. Good point. I don't know if any of the women, I haven't really seen any of that, any hints of injury or anything. Yeah. Could be Carter. Maybe they finally gave Carter a little air time just because they know he's about ready to get met. I don't know. We could guess from here to next Wednesday and never come up with it correctly.
We just have no idea till next week.
Yeah.
But it was definitely a good episode. It's a good season. I'm really enjoying this season, and they've got a great cast. As much as I really don't like returning cast members this season, it hasn't really bothered me so bad. I'm sort of enjoying the way they're interacting, and it's been a great season so far. So I'm really intrigued by this tease that Bubba has given us, and I keep to notice.
I try not to, but now that the seed is planted, everything that he says, I tend to wonder, why is he saying that? You know, I'm not going to mention what was said tonight. I just don't want to. That I picked up on. Maybe I'll talk with you on the phone afterwards, tell you what I'm referring to. So, at any rate, that was a really good summary of the show, Cherry. Kudos again to your great notes.
Thank you.
It causes me to remember, you know, like I'm watching and rewatching it again. So.
Well, there is an announcement that I want to make. Our good friend, Chi-Town Joe, will be doing his show this Saturday, 4:30 Eastern, 3:30 Central, at C SeacoastInternationalRadio.com. I believe that might be a slightly different address than it was. I know they're building a new website, so everything is going to be new on the website, and hopefully it won't be so hard for some people to get into the room and onto the show. So he wanted me to mention that everything will be new, and everyone should go to SeacoastInternationalRadio.com for the Chi-Town Live show. You can go to his Facebook page at Chi-Town Live, and he has a link there that you can just click on to go to the show. There will be a chat room, so I don't know if it will be like it was on the old page, but on the old one, you just had to scroll down a little bit, and you'll see the chat room. The old site, you didn't see the chat room right on top of the page. You had to scroll down a little bit before you saw it. But there is a chat room there. So make sure that you scroll down and look for it and join the chat room, because everybody's in there chatting. Most of us are there on Saturdays. And he plays great, great music, and I think everyone will really enjoy it. So if you're not doing anything on Saturdays, pop in and join in the chat room. There is also, on the Chi-Town Live Facebook page, you can get a mobile link. So if you want to listen on your mobile phone, just grab that link, and you can check it out on your mobile phone.
And it's 3 hours plus. You know?
Right. And he mentions everybody. He talks about all of us, and it's a fun show to listen to. So check it out if you can. Everybody loves Chi-Town Joe.
Yes, they do.
And I certainly want to mention the absolutely lovable Louis Stravato on Sunday nights. He is with us at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central for our TAR Second Pit Stop show. And that is always a fun show because he recaps the show with all these fun little stories and tidbits. Kind of like Bubba does for Survivor. He's been there. He's been on the race. He knows what happens behind the scenes, and he shares all those fun stories with us about the Amazing Race, and it makes watching the Amazing Race so different.
Right.
You
and
listen to Louis talk about it. You learn so much.
No, I was just going to say it adds a whole different perspective than just watching the show as fans.
Right, it really does.
You
just learn so much. And then...
Before we leave Louis, I just have to say, you never know. He has been known to surprise us with some awesome guests that he calls in, because he's been to a lot of these events. He's gotten to meet a lot of the reality people from going to these events, and he pretty much can just give them a call and they'll show up because they love Louis as well.
Everybody loves Louis, and he might have other Amazing Race people on. You just don't know who Louis is going to have on. Paul mentioned last week Jeff and Jordan, they have been on the race, but he might have Rachel and Brendan. He might have, somebody from a completely different show. He might have anyone. I mean, because he has been at all these reality events. He can call basically anyone, and they're going to come to Louis' show and recap the Amazing Race with him, because everybody loves Louis, and they'll come and do a show with him at the drop of a hat. So he has some of the most amazing guests on his show. Just be there, and you don't know who might show up. So that's a great point, Paul.
And
you have to mention
that,
his guests, because you just don't know who's going to show up there.
Yeah, he didn't even call out a couple weeks ago. He didn't even call out to Mertz, and Mertz pops in just because he wanted to talk about the Amazing Race. He just watched it and wanted to talk with Lou, and he knew that we had a show going on. And Mertz Jaffer, I'm sure people know who Mertz is. It really added a lot to that discussion that night.
Absolutely. So these are shows that you want to be there because you just don't know what's going to happen. I like to promote and tell people who's going to be there that night, but sometimes it's not possible. Sometimes people just call in unexpectedly, like Mark.
Remember that night when I went to the screening room and came back, and just out of nowhere, we were surprised that Rennie popped in.
That's right.
It was like, what?
We just don't know who's going to call in to our shows sometimes.
Yeah.
So you have to be here because these things happen, and, you know, reality people know that this is a place that they can call into whenever they want. They have our number, and they know when we're doing shows that they are welcome to call in at any time. And they do, and we love that. And so even though we can't always announce who's going to be on the show, sometimes we have wonderful, great guests who just pop in out of the blue, and you have to be here or you're going to miss it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's more fun to be here when it's happening live than to listen to it past tense on a widget and go, darn, I wish I'd have been there when it was happening live and I could have actually called in and talked to Rennie, or I could
right.
have called in and, you know, talked to this person or that person and, you know, had a conversation with them or asked them a question that I've always wanted to ask them. So, you know, we always do encourage our fans to call in and talk to, you know, our special guests and our host and be part of the show. We're not shy here, and we don't bite. We really don't. So Paul might growl a little, but he doesn't bite. But really, we do. We love connecting people with the reality people that we have on the show. We love hearing people say, oh, I've always wanted to talk to you. I've always wanted to ask you this question. You know, that makes our day. So
yeah.
don't ever hesitate to dial in and ask a question or just call in and say hi to our guest or our host. You know, that's fun for us. We want you to do that.
Yep.
So next up is our Manic Monday show, the show that has, you know, been with us the longest, and Michelle is absolutely so near and dear to our hearts. She has our Manic Monday show, and she brings it every week. She will not be here with us this coming Monday because she is a socialite. She's
got to
be out there at the events doing what she does, making people smile and being there for the charity events and raising money.
Reality Rescue this weekend is where she's heading.
That's right. She's out there in Virginia at Reality Rescue, making it happen for all the homeless dogs and cats that need a home. And she's going to be signing autographs and doing what she does, making people smile and you know, bringing it for charity. And so we will have somebody else in her place on this Manic Monday, but I can promise it'll still be good. But we have to make sure you're back on that following Monday, because that will be a good one. And then we have, on Tuesdays, Jody's Box of Reality. That's our newest show. That is at 3 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Central, and Jody's Box of Reality is a fun show. This week she's going to be having Missy from Superpass. And
Superfan Missy.
I know it's going to be a great show. Those two together are going to be absolutely...
Doesn't she have to work?
Missy works all the time.
Good
Missy
point.
Is always working, but she's taking time out to join Jody, And I can't wait for that show. That's going to be a blast as well. And then we're back to our Survivor
show. Well, you know what this sounds like?
So,
you know what this sounds like? It sounds like a network of shows, don't you think?
I think it sounds like a network of shows. We're back to doing 4 shows a week, and we have become the Rad Reality Show Network, and that's where we're at. So we hope that you can join us for as many shows as you possibly can make each and every week. We love to see all of you here in our chat room and listening on the phones. I know you can't make it for every show always, but we love seeing each and every one of you. And we love having you call in, too, so don't be shy. Call in and join us. Talk to us. Tell us what you're doing, what's going on with you, and what you like to hear, and what shows you love to listen to and watch. Just tell us what's going on with you.
Do you know what show I love to watch?
I know what show you love to watch, Paul.
Let me tell you, I am entertained by a wide variety of shows. Unlike Cherry, I even watch a lot of scripted TV. And I'm entertained by watching sporting events, too. And obviously reality shows. I'm putting my foot down. I will not get into The Real Housewives. I won't. It sounds like there's too many. If there was just one, maybe I would, but I'm just not going to do it. I mean, I don't have time to do it. But they entertain me in different ways, you know, from mysteries to dramas to sporting events. But let me tell you, this show, it just makes me smile. It makes me laugh. It's just so much fun. And that is the return of the second season of Duck Dynasty, which premiered last night. Wednesday. Yeah, this is Thursday. And I just love the Robertson clan, and they just crack me up. And I don't know if I am setting up a clip to play or whether we're going to talk about something else or even if you want to play that clip, Cherry.
Well, Paul, I mean, come on. For Duck Dynasty, let's do this.
All right, let's
do it. So y'all want to catch some fish?
Yes, sir. That was the plan. We were going to do it.
I think our culture needs more grandpas riding along with grandson and girlfriend.
You got old Papaw here being your chaperone. When you're young, you know, all you hear everybody, you know, on television and the internet, you know, sex, 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 oh, you know, what we're going to do with ourselves.
Don't even entertain that thought.
The last thing I would want is one of them come to me and say, guess what, Papaw, I mean, you know, I've got herpes. And I'm like, yeah, well, I know where that comes from.
It's gonorrhea, herpes.
Wow.
I'm like, I don't think so.
Sounds like a good point.
Better a good day's catch of fish than a lifetime of crabs.
A little peck on the cheek, okay. But other than that, nah.
You go from happy, happy, happy to crabby, crabby, crabby.
Were you wanting to set that up first, Paul?
That's okay. I did, you know, for those that didn't know about the show, the guy that you were hearing is the elder. He's the one that started the company, the Duck Calling Company, and they're multimillionaires now. But Phil is his name, and Phil has a grandson, John Luke. And John Luke shows up at his grandfather's house and said, can I use the boat? My girlfriend Emily and I want to go out and go fishing. Well, Phil decides, you can use the boat, but I'm going to go chaperone you. And so he's got them both in the boat, chaperoning them, and he decides to give them a little bit of his wisdom, so to speak. And oh, the poor girl was so embarrassed, and his grandson as well. But Yes. Better.
That is just one of the funniest shows. I watched this. I've still got to catch that episode. I watched the other episode. They show 2.5-hour episodes at a time.
Yep.
And they were trying to get a bee nest out of a tree on the other episode. And, oh, my gosh. The things they did trying to get the bee nest out of the tree to get the honey.
That was actually, Jerry, you missed that. That was from season one. They actually were repeating some season ones, and I remember that bee's nest one. That was hilarious. The first episode is they got challenged by one of their high school buddies who races riding lawnmowers.
So the one I saw last night wasn't even one of the two from the season? Okay, good.
The Bee's Nest was from last year. So,
okay.
But,
I knew I didn't see all of them from last year either. So.
Oh, my goodness. But, no, Phil has a brother, Cy, who cracks me up. He was in Vietnam and from that era. And Cy, Uncle Cy, is just priceless. And you've got Willie, who's the CEO of the company, who tries to bring some sanity to the crazy clan. His brother Jace is also a star of that show. Jace is just amazing. And then the thing that always cracks me up is they have a shot of another guy with the beard, and they always just type underneath his the shot of him is Willie's other brother, and his name is Jeff. Jeff doesn't do anything. He just... Oh, my God. It's really is funny, these.
Have you figured out how to apply to be an honorary member of the Beards?
I was afraid that would come up, and I have not had the time to do that yet. But I'm wondering if... Well, Ben's already gone, but... Boom Boom Ben, Boom Boom Room should apply as well. But, no, that is a very entertaining, hilarious show. And I mentioned it so many times to Missy that Missy is now a fan of the show too. So you should ask her about that when she comes on Jody's Tuesday afternoon show.
Okay. And also the, now I'm going to forget the name of the show. The, the reader, the New Jersey woman that gives
Long
people
Island Medium?
Long Island Medium. That's running now, too.
Teresa Caputo, we're about 6 or 7 episodes into the new season of that, and she is just blows my mind away. It's a cool show. The other ones that I'm getting a couple episodes behind that I am watching that are new, I haven't even watched episode one of Couples Therapy, but I did watch it last year, and it's worth seeing again, so I've been recording that. And then the non-celebrity edition of Dr. Drew in Rehab. People that are regulars to the show, I'm sure you've heard me say that I'm 25 years clean and sober, and so it's a journey that I'm familiar with, and it interests me in watching that. I don't know if it's as interesting for those that haven't struggled or seen addiction, but it's also a good show that I'm watching now. So,
are you also watching Couples Therapy?
I mentioned that I watched all of the first season, and they're what, 2 episodes into the new season, and I've got both those first 2 episodes on DVR ready to watch. And I know you watch it. Have you watched both of the new episodes? And is it going to be a good one this year?
OMG,
All right. Now, I am not. I know some people were drawn into it because they know that there's a couple from The Real Housewives. Is that the only reason that you're interested, or
no?
Are other...
Let me tell you something. I had just been able to see a tiny little picture of who was going to be on there, so I had no idea who the other people were except for the couple that was from Real Housewives. I knew who they were immediately. I didn't know who any of the other people were. I'm still not real familiar with the other couples, but one of the couples, if you recall, was all over the news and everything and entertainment shows, tabloids,
yeah.
Because it was a 40-something-year-old man, maybe even 50,
yeah.
That married a 17-year-old girl. Who had just turned 17.
Right.
And they are on the show. And the very first episode, within 2 seconds of them walking out in the common area to meet everyone, it hits the fan with the rest of the guests. And it doesn't end. And... let me tell you, this is going to be an explosive season.
Okay. Well, there was a lot of that in last year's as well. I did recognize only one when I saw the cast announced, and it was winner of the girl that was picked on for The Bachelor, you know, to win. The Bachelorette, the daughter of Fernando Lamas, I've forgotten her first name, but she was actually chosen by The Bachelor that year to, and that didn't last, but she is on that show, so she's the only one I'm familiar with, but even aside from being familiar with any of them, I mean, last year, I knew nothing about that, I think he was a rap singer, I knew nothing about him, and that couple was one that I was really riveted on. So you don't need to know these people to be entertained. I mean, I say entertained, but, you know, what they're going through is really hard. But it's, I'm going to have to catch up. I've cleared a lot of my DVR off the last few days. Haven't been on Twitter, haven't been on Facebook. Jerry, I already told you that, and I apologize, but I have been taking care of catching up on all the other shows that I watched off my DVR, and the VH1 shows are next up for me. So,
well, another show that I have been watching is The Challenge on MTV, and I just want to say congratulations to Big Easy. He is one of the guys who has been on many of the shows in the past, and he was always, you know, overweight. And this season we see him after losing 70 pounds.
Big Easy.
And he is looking awesome. He now has an article on the Huffington Post. If any of you want to check that out, I will find the link and post it on my Facebook wall.
It's an
so
article
you can read
about
it.
Him, or he's actually
he actually
for that.
Wrote it for Huffington Post.
Oh, cool!
And he actually fell in love on this season of The Challenge with a girl named Devin. They are still together, and I am so happy for them. It just seems like everything is really going so well for Big Easy right now, and I'm just thrilled for him. He looks amazing. He's still going strong. In his article, he talks about his revelation, you know, that he actually needed to make a change in his life and who he went to ask for help, how he did it, and that it's still an ongoing process.
Jerry,
where you can go to follow it.
You got to get Big Easy back on to talk about this.
I really want to so bad. I want to have him back on the show in the worst way. I mean, I just adore him. And
now, who is this Devin? What MTV show had she been on, do you know?
She's been on a few of them as well.
Okay.
And he mentioned to me, he said he teased me. He said, I won't tell you who it is. You'll have to wait and see. He said, but
yep.
I will tell you that I had to actually talk to my folks, and I had some splaining to do. And she's a black girl, and his family's from the South.
Uh-oh.
And so now I understand what he was talking about, but they're very happy. They're such a cute, adorable couple, and I'm just happy for him. I mean, he's just so happy in his life right now. And
oh, that's what matters.
Yeah, that's exactly what matters. And so I just want to get him back on the show in the worst way and congratulate him. And, you know, I want to talk to him about how he's done all this. And
yeah, lots to ask him about. Now, for those that missed it or don't realize, when Big Easy came on, it was the mega show that Cowboy did for his Friday finale. And there just wasn't time to get into that much detail with the individuals. I mean, we had Gene and Jeffrey from the Glass House along with Big Easy in the second hour. But Ashley from Big Brother had even stayed past her first hour segment, and she joined in and talked. And there was just not the time to get into that detail. So, yeah, it would be great to have him back individually.
Right. I want to have him come on, you know, so bad to just, you know, get the rest of the story and find out, you know, what's going on and get all the details, you know.
Yeah.
So we'll try to do that as soon as we can and see what we can do about that. I guess we've basically just about wrapped this one up. I hope that Jess BB Love had a wonderful 21st birthday. And this past week also, Adam Pock mentioned that it was the anniversary of when he very first asked Farrah to be his girlfriend, so it was the anniversary of their going steady anniversary, 10 years, and so I want to wish them a happy anniversary. It's a day or two late now. I think it was actually yesterday. So happy anniversary to Adam and Farrah on their going steady anniversary. But I think that's about all the announcements that I have for right now. We've mentioned Chi-Town Joe and his show. And I hope everyone that can go to Reality Rescue will be going. And if you can, there is a sale on Southwest right now if you're thinking about going to Toys for Tots in New Hampshire at the end of November, November 30th to December 2nd. There is a sale on Southwest right now. Get your tickets now would be a good time. So Toys for Tots is one of the most amazing events, and I know there's going to be, it's their fifth anniversary, and they're going big this year. So if you can go, get your tickets now on your flights at least, so you can get a good deal on Southwest. Anything else, Paul?
No, not that I can think of. I'm sure you're following, and maybe you can update me on what's happening with the NHL lockout, because I know that's the only sport that you really are passionate about. And normally we would be seeing some at least preseason games, but they're actually locked out, and they've canceled a bunch of games already. I'm sure that's not making you very happy.
I'm just so pissed.
Sherry's not happy, happy, happy.
I am not happy, happy, happy. I'm so pissed. We have one of the best teams ever, and now they decide to lock us out like this. I am so pissed. He just got my blood boiling.
Yeah. Well, see, that's why you got to be into your other St. Louis teams, your Cardinals, and there's, you know, all sorts of other things. The Minnesota Lynx are the WNBA reigning world champion from last year, and they are about ready this next couple of days to start the finals, and so I've got them to cheer on. And the Vikings are doing well, tied with the Bears, and the NBA is coming back soon. They've already started their exhibition games, so I still have lots of sports to watch. I don't have to wait for hockey like you do.
I don't watch on any of the rest of it. I'm a hockey girl. That's enough for me.
I know.
I do, you know, I have my big brother in the summer. I have my hockey in the winter. And I do all these shows. And I have a husband and two dogs that I take care of. And a household. That's plenty enough to keep this girl busy, busy, busy.
Well, then I'm glad that you don't have to take up time watching hockey.
Oh, I need my hockey. Let me tell you, my husband and I are both.
I know you both
having
are.
A bitch fest about every evening about this hockey situation. But yeah, I don't know why they got to do this, you know. But like, there isn't enough money out there. I don't even want to get me started. Anyway, I'm going to close the show as we always do with the one we missed the most. Our Ron, thank you all for being here with us tonight, and I hope we will see you back on Sunday with our Louis Stravato for TAR's The Second Pit Stop. Be kind to each other. Take care. Have a great night. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you soon. Here's Ron.
I want to finish off with a song. I really felt like it was a great show, and I really do appreciate everyone that did listen, and everyone who called in. Thank you. Love you guys.
It's late. We gotta get on home. It's late. We've been gone too long. Too bad. We should have checked our time. Can't phone. We done spent every dime. It's late. We're about to run out of gas. It's late. We gotta get home fast. Can't speak. We're in a slowdown zone. Baby, look at that clock. Why can't it be wrong? We got started just a little bit late. Hope this won't be our last day. Look up. Is that the moon we see? Can't be. Looks like the sun to me. It's late. We've been gone too long. Started just a little bit late. Hope this won't be our last day. Look up. Is that the moon we see? Can't see. Looks like the sun to me. It's late. We gotta get on home. It's late. We've been gone too long.
And you've listened to the Rad Reality Show. Come back Sunday, 10 p.m. Louie and the Amazing Race Talk. Good night.
Oh, how I miss him. Okay, everyone, that's a wrap for this show. You guys have a wonderful weekend. As I always say, be kind to each other, and God bless. Good night.